This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا ومرشدنا ومطاعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فاعتبروا يا أولي الأبصار. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable علماء, respected brothers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most successful human being ever to have lived. Not only was he successful spiritually, but he was successful militarily, economically, socially, and in every other way. One of the greatest challenges, one of the greatest deficiencies that faces the Ummah today is that of mediocrity. We just go with the flow. We are satisfied with the average. And that is contrary to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we study the Sunnah and the Seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, we will notice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a positive thinker. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's actions and his deliberations, his thought processes and his strategies were all solution orientated, result orientated. Anything that would be counterproductive, anything that would compromise or that would slow down success, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam avoided that. So when we study the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn the principles of success. Not only the principles of success for spiritual prosperity or for spiritual achievement, but even for material, economic, military, as well as social prosperity and success. Now, one thing we need to understand, many times we have this misconception that we think that this word success is perhaps relevant only to the so-called high flyers. Those people who aspire for very high positions or high office, or those people who from a financial perspective, they make it right to the top. We think, and erroneously so, we think that success, or the word success, or the concept of success is relevant only to those people. So in other words, once you become a billionaire and you make the Forbes list, then you are successful. Once you have achieved a very high position, or politically, you make it to the highest office in the land, then you are successful. The problem with such a definition and the problem with such a thought is that we think then that success does not relate to us. It's not relevant to us. We think, well, you know, I have no aspirations to become a millionaire, let alone a billionaire. I have no aspirations to occupy any high office or to be a leader at the highest level. So therefore, this whole discussion about success does not relate to me. And that's the first mistake that we make. When we study the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we realize that as Muslims, it is incumbent upon us to do the best in whichever field Allah is taking work from us. Even if you don't own your own home, even if you don't own your own business, you are merely an employee for someone else. You must do what you are doing to the best of your ability. I once read a quote where they said, even if it is your lot in life, meaning even if it is your taqdeer to be a street sweeper, then be the best street sweeper that you can be. That is a dictate of iman. That is the hallmark of a Muslim. Because not everyone is going to make it to the top. That's not how the system of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala works. But as an ummah, if you want to succeed, as an ummah, if you want to prosper, every individual within that community, every individual within that ummah needs to endeavor to be successful at whatever they are doing. Whatever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has decreed for them to do, they need to do it to the best of their ability. And the problem with us today is we're going with the flow. We have become satisfied with mediocrity. As long as I get up every morning and do what I need to do, I'm ticking off boxes. I went to work, I did this, I did that, and that's my job for the day. That's my job for the week. And the week day passes, the month passes, the year passes, and life goes on. We're not building, we're not enhancing, we're not improving, we're not escalating, we're not prospering. Because we don't have that ambition. We think that ambition, prosperity and success is alien to our deen. No. Obviously spiritual ambition and spiritual success is of greater significance. It's of greater importance. It's of greater priority. But you live in this world. And this ummah was at its height when we were successful in every field. Because that is when we were independent. When we had our own money. When we had our own doctors. When we had our own scientists. When we had our own innovators. That is when we were independent of everyone else and everyone was dependent on us. And that is when spiritually also we reached great heights. So as the new year dawns, and not to say that there's any significance to a new year or a Gregorian new year resolution, we go according to the spiritual calendar and Islamic calendar as much as there is leeway and permissibility for us to run our worldly affairs according to the Gregorian calendar. But as everyone else is talking about what they intend to do differently for the year ahead, perhaps this would be an apt thought for us, that this year I want to do whatever it is that Allah has decreed for me to do in my life, whatever my function is, whatever my role is, but I want to do it to the best of my ability. I want to prosper and I want to be successful at it. And in order to be prosperous, in order to be successful, not only as a human but as a Muslim, we need to study the life story of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now today I want to discuss 10 principles of success from the seerah, from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 10 principles of success. The first principle is, we need to develop the ability to see an advantage in every disadvantage. We need to develop the ability to see an advantage in every disadvantage. Even those who are acquainted with basic knowledge on seerah would know that those 13 years in Makkah were a very difficult, turbulent, traumatic and challenging time for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. The difficulty, the persecutions, the hardships that they went through, the torture that they had to endure is unfathomable for many of us. Yet, in the midst of all of that difficulty, what is the verse that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reveals? Inna ma'al usri yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra. That with difficulty there is always ease. After every rainfall, there has to be a rainbow. The harder the rain, the more intense the rainfall, the greater the color and the intensity of the rainbow. It is up to us to be creative and resourceful in our thinking, to have an open mind, to be able to see the advantage in every situation of disadvantage. And if you study the history of Islam, many times it was on the back of so-called defeat. It was on the back of difficulty that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opened up the door of victory. That's why in English they say that let no crisis go wasted. Let no crisis go wasted. Every crisis that comes in your life, whether it be on an individual basis or whether it be on a collective basis, it is the system of Allah that will open up some door or the other of opportunity. So we need to train our minds not to be so pessimistic. Hardship, difficulty and challenge is part of the cycle of life. It's part of the system of life. That is how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created this dunya. But a Muslim develops the ability and the art of seeing a situation of advantage in every disadvantage. The second principle of success that we learn from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sometimes you need to change the place or the plan of action. They say the height of stupidity is you do the same thing over and over again and you expect different results. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in Makkah. He lived his entire life in Makkah. When he left Makkah, he was 53 years old. When you live for 53 years in any place, there's an attachment that grows in your heart to that place. And this was not any place, this was Makkah. This was the greatest of all cities. This was the place where in the Kaaba was situated. And nobody understood the spirituality of Makkah al-Mukarramah better than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when the Nabi of Allah saw that he was making little headway, he was not making the inroads that he desired, in terms of spreading the message of Islam in Makkah, as painful as it was time to change the plan of action. It was time to make a painful decision and change the place of action. And then, after having to make the painful decision of going to Medina, which was much colder, which was a place known for its sickness, where he had to totally relocate amongst people who he was totally unfamiliar with. Yet within 10 years, Allah granted such success and such prosperity that Medina became the foundation for the conquest of Makkah. So sometimes in life, you cannot continue to do the same thing in the same way if it's not achieving the desired results. It's not an easy decision. It wasn't an easy decision for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a painful one, but a necessary one. So that's the second lesson of success, the second principle of success that we learn from the life story of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third principle of success is always begin with the possible. Always begin with that which is easier. There is a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, where she mentions to the effect that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he had two options, and both were equally permissible, he chose the easier of the two. It means it will take you less time and less effort. Why do you need to be unnecessarily brave and take the harder route, but the more difficult route, just to prove that you can overcome the obstacles, but it's more resource intensive, it's more time intensive, you're expending more energy. Life is short. There's a lot that we need to accomplish and there's a lot that we need to achieve. If there are two options, opt for the easier option. It is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is in line with logic and it's more pragmatic. It's also the way of those who achieve. Sometimes our ego makes us take the more difficult routes. Simple thing. Sometimes you need to communicate a message to the wife. There's something you're not happy with. It's the easy way of doing it, but that's going to be more intense on your ego. Where you humbly mention to her that, you know, this year maybe try and change it, I'm not too happy about it. And then there's a more difficult way, but more palatable to the ego, where you stamp your authority, and you roar at the top of your lungs, and you make it known. So what happens? She keeps quiet temporarily, but she becomes more stubborn and she does it over again to prove your point. And then you become more obstinate to show that, no, I will prevail. And ultimately, perhaps you will prevail. But it took you more energy, it took you more inconvenience, and in the end, there was a much more time that you had to spend on that particular activity than was necessary. So it is part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that always look for the easy option, as long as both options are permissible. And both options will lead you to the desired result. So those are three principles from the 10 that we have been discussing, of how to become successful human beings. The fourth principle that I would like to discuss is gradualism instead of radicalism. This is a very important point. Human beings have been created very hasty. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. So what happens? We want to see change overnight. We want to see change overnight. We live in an instant age. It's instant this, instant that. We even get instant food now. Just pop the packet into the microwave and it's not popcorn like 10 or 15 years ago. Now an entire meal pops out after 3 minutes ready to be consumed. So we want instant gratification. We want instant results. But that's not the system of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The system of Allah is more about gradualism than radicalism. It's more evolutionary than it is revolutionary. Look, when the first revelation came to Makkah al-Mukarramah, what weren't the mushrikeen involved in? From tribal warfare to making tawaf of the Kaaba naked to burying their own daughters alive. But the first revelation did not say, burying your daughters alive is haram, interest is haram, alcohol is haram. No, the mindset was not there. It was a gradual process. First talking about the necessity of reading and educating yourself. Then talking about Jannah and Jahannam. And when the faith and the Iman was strengthened, now the necessary injunctions and the necessary do's and don'ts were revealed. You and I today, as parents, as teachers, we want to see a radical change. I gave one talk to my kids and tomorrow I want to see them walk the straight and narrow. I gave one talk to my congregants or to my students and I want to see an instant, total, complete and perfect change. The system of Allah doesn't work that way. And people who aspire to be successful at what they do, they understand that. It's a slog. It's hard work. You and I want the easy way out. We want to say it once, twice, and we want to see instant and complete change. It doesn't work that way. If it was to work that way, it would work that way for the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And they had to do the hard work. They had to put in the hard yards before they saw the desired results. So that's the fourth. The fifth principle of success that we learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that you need to be pragmatic in the midst of controversy. You need to be pragmatic in the midst of controversy. They talk about cool heads, you know, in English. They talk about cool heads. It's the occasion of Hudaybiyah. The blood of Sahaba is already boiling. Sahaba angry. They came to perform Umrah, and here they were intercepted. These people are threatening war. They did not treat Uthman radiallahu anhu, the emissary, in the best of ways. And now the Nabi of Allah is about to sign a treaty which on the apparent goes against the Muslims. It's all advantage to the enemy. And now what is the enemy quabbling about? No. They don't want to write at the bottom Muhammad Rasulullah. They want Muhammad ibn Abdullah. They say, no, we don't recognize you as the messenger of Allah. How can we write it that way? Ali radiallahu anhu is refusing to wipe it off. He says, I believe in him as the messenger of Allah. But look at the mindset of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ability to keep a cool head in the midst of controversy and see the bigger picture. The Nabi of Allah understood that this treaty would become the cornerstone of the conquest of Makkah. It was going to become the foundation of great victory. Let not this issue stifle the greater objective. The Nabi of Allah said, well, I am Muhammad Rasulullah, but I am also Ibn Abdullah. I will wipe it with my own hands and then you can write it again that I am the son of Abdullah. There's no contradiction between the two. I am the Nabi of Allah. Ali, I can understand your sentiment. You don't want to wipe it. I'll wipe it out. I'll have it removed. You have it rewritten. Let's salvage the moment because there's a greater objective in life. There's a greater objective in life. This is a life skill that many of us have not learned. This is a life skill that many of us have not learned. This is also part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those are 5 of the 10. Before I move on to the next 5, lessons or principles of success that we learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let me share with you something related to what I said in the beginning. Many of us think that this word success or the word prosperity is relevant to only those people who want to fly really high in life. And it's not. Success is relevant to every one of us, no matter what your occupation or no matter what your lot in life. Recently I was in Cape Town and I was about to board a flight and I decided to go to the bathroom to make wudu so I could perform salah. And as I'm walking in the corridor, those who are familiar with the airport in Cape Town, there's a corridor that leads you to the bathrooms, to the toilets. As I'm walking through the corridor, the janitor, the toilet cleaner, is standing with a broad smile on his face and he's saying, "Welcome to my office, sir. Welcome to my office, sir." Now I had a hectic day, I was tired, I'm looking to get home, and all of a sudden, I'm met by a person who's smiling. And then he tells me, "Welcome to my office." So automatically I break into a smile. Now he sees the way I'm dressed, he sees that I've got a long beard, he understands this guy wants to make wudu. He says, "Let me open the paraplegic toilet for you." He knows our kind, right? It's easier to make wudu there and you don't have all the eyes looking at you and what are you up to with your feet in the sink. So he opens up and that paraplegic toilet is spotless. So I make my wudu. When I come out, he tells me, "Was it clean? Was it up to standard?" I said, "Of course it was." Now let me ask you a question. Any human being in that situation, would you feel easy tipping him with the 5 rand or the 10 rand? I could not, my conscience could not allow me to take anything out less than the 50 rand. And when he opened his palms, I saw 100 rand notes and 200 rand notes. Now that is what you call it, a man who's working smart. His lot in life is to clean the toilets. He could have been sitting there sulking. Sulking and pondering that, you know, is this what life is supposed to be for me? But he made the most of that particular situation, even if it was for financial reasons. So the lesson we can learn is that no matter what your lot in life, even if you're a mere employee, even if you are doing some menial task, do it to the best of your ability. That's what the Ummah requires. That is what is expected of every Muslim. The sixth principle of success that we learn from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that always try and bring matters into a position of your own advantage. Don't play to the advantage of the adversary or the enemy. Look at the time of Khandaq. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu gave Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the suggestion of the trench. Now here you had the Confederates, you had a coalition of armies wanting to wipe off the Muslims. They wanted to go hand to hand in combat. Why? Because it played to their advantage. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the trench dug and the Sahaba stayed on this side of the trench until the enemy lost their steam out of pure frustration. They tried to taunt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not how we fight. This is not how we Arabs do it. We're known for our courage. We're known for our valor. We're known for our bravery. But the Nabi of Allah was not foolhardy. Many times people know this guy, we just need to instigate him. He's hot-headed, we need to instigate him, we'll walk straight into a trap. Even your wife knows it sometimes. She knows how to get you angry, then make you feel guilty. These are life skills. You want to prosper in every field, anything. Economically, socially, militarily, these are the skills that you are required to have for success. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, always bring it to your position of advantage. Bring it to your position of advantage. He stuck to the tactic of the trench. Recently I read, I don't know how accurate it may or may not be, but I'll share it with you. There's this book that Gladwell has written called David Goliath, How the Underdogs Can Prevail. And he gives some interesting examples. Now we know the story of Dawood and Jalut, Dawood alayhi salam. Now David was the young boy, Dawood alayhi salam, with the keti, with the string and the stone. Many of us may have wondered that when he took out the keti and he's about to shoot off the stone, why did Goliath just stand? Why didn't he take some evasive action? And they did some research into this and they said, obviously he was this humongous warrior and he preferred hand-to-hand combat. But he also had a problem with cataract. His vision was not good. So as Dawood alayhi salam came, he was taunting him. Then what are you doing? Come closer. Why? He wanted to play to his advantage where he could see the adversary. Dawood alayhi salam did not fall for the trick. He did not show false bravado. He understood that hand on hand, this man is stronger than me. He's more equipped than me. He kept his distance, and that man never saw the stone coming because of his weak eyesight. He never saw the stone coming because of his weak eyesight. So do not rush in because of an instantaneous kind of knee-jerk reaction. It is also a principle of success that we learn from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The seventh is that do not be a dichotomous thinker. In life, it's not always black and white. In life, it's not either or. The Sahaba were 2,000 against 200,000 in the Battle of Mu'tah. And three leaders were slain until Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu came and he salvaged the day. He managed to push back the Roman army and he took the Muslims and they retreated back to Medina. Now, when he came to Medina, some people in the outskirts started rebuking that, you know, when you go to war, it's either or. Either you win or you die. You don't come back. You don't retreat. So they were rebuking him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, these are not retreaters. These are men of advancement. In life, there is something called a tactical retreat. When you see that the odds are heavily stacked against you, you don't go like lambs to the slaughter. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu brought back the Muslim army. They prepared. And 3 years later, they conquered the Roman army. 3 years later, they conquered the Roman army. So in life, do not be a dichotomous thinker. It's not always either or. Many times there's a third option. If not a fourth option, it just requires that creative ability to be able to see that option that no one else is seeing. The eighth lesson that we learn from the seerah, principle of success from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that the power of peace is always stronger than the power of violence. It's much easier to destruct, it's much more difficult to construct. You know, after the conquest of Makkah, everyone was forgiven except those who were really vicious in their enmity towards the Muslims. But even amongst those, there were those who were brought, who were about to be executed. And then the Nabi of Allah just suddenly and unexpectedly told them, go, you are free for the pleasure of Allah. Every one of those vicious enemies accepted Islam. Because the Nabi of Allah allowed the power of peace to prevail over the power of violence. Sometimes violence and tough action is necessary. Islam is a religion of balance. We do not negate it altogether. But study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He always advocated peace over violence. Violence was always a last resort. You and I today, over a small parking lot issue, we're ready to roll up our sleeves. Somebody says something that injures the ego somewhat, and we're ready to go to battle. We're ready to show all our mettle. We're ready to show what we can deliver. But that was not part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was always looking for an opportunity to make peace. The ninth is turn a minus into a plus. The Nabi of Allah, there's so many examples, my time is almost up, that the Nabi of Allah displayed in this regard. I'll give you one example. After the Battle of Badr, there were 70 prisoners. And prisoners become a burden for those who have taken them captive. So now there's this big discussion amongst the Sahaba. Do you execute them and get rid of them? Do you ransom them and get the money? Look at the solution that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came up with. The children of Medina were not literate because literacy was not something which was the norm. Many from amongst these 70 knew how to read and write. The Nabi of Allah called them and said, if you teach the young children of Medina how to read and write, that will be your ransom and you will be free. The first Muslim school in Islam was established where the prisoners of war were the teachers and the youngsters of Medina were the students. That's how the Nabi of Allah turned a minus into a plus. And the 10th of the 10 principles of success from the seerah that I want to discuss with you today is to make a friend out of an enemy. Anyone can make an enemy out of someone who doesn't like you or whom you don't like. But to take someone who's a staunch enemy and to turn him into a friend, that requires skill. And that skill we can learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's based on a maxim and a principle in the Quran where Allah says, idfa' billati hiya ahsan. Then always retaliate with better behavior. Hold the moral high ground. It will melt even the heart of that person who is most staunch in his animosity towards you. What it requires is for you to have a sober disposition, for you to have tons of humility, and to have insight and foresight and say, the objective is greater than my ego. The objective is greater than my ego. The purpose is greater than me as an individual. I can sacrifice myself, but let me turn this enemy into a friend. Let Umar, who left his house with the intention of killing the Nabi of Allah, today he lies resting next to the Nabi of Allah. Those people who were ready to spill the blood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned their hearts in such a way that they became ready to drink the blood of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My time is up, brothers. My message is simple. Mediocrity is a great cancer that is eating away at the ambitions of this ummah. If we want to succeed, then we need to have the ambition to be successful in every aspect of our existence. And this success is relevant to every one of us. No matter what you do in life, don't look at it as menial. Don't look at it as insignificant. Whatever your lot is in life, do it to the best of your ability. Endeavor to prosper and to be successful. And learn those lessons, those techniques and those skills to achieve success from the greatest example and the most successful of all of Allah's creation, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah grant me all of us the tawfiq wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.